And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. And I'm talking about this show goes way down south to Birmingham and up north to Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, my favorite time of the week. We're there. She just came screaming in on two wheels. But McQueen's in the studio, so it is time for Boomer and McQueen. All right. How are you?
I'm good. That was definitely not an understatement.
No, you did. We got skid marks in the parking lot as you came careening into your space.
Pretty much.
Out there.
But I'm here.
The engine's still running. You just got out of the car and ran in.
Didn't hit too many cars. We're all good.
All right. Nice. I understand, by the way, that you watched the debate last night, you and Boomer.
Yes, and I forgot it was last night, so I said, I'm so glad that you work on a political talk show because I forgot it was tonight. And we turned it on about 15 minutes late.
So, before we start on the regular questions, like the real Boomer McQueen questions.
The real questions.
The real questions.
Here's some just other questions.
Yeah, so here's, I just want to know, randomly speaking, who do you think won last night? If you had to pick a winner on the stage, who won?
Well, I wish I would have seen the first 15 minutes, because I feel like that's kind of like...
You didn't miss anything.
I didn't miss much. Yeah. Well, because it's like, that like shows like who really made like an entrance, you know, or like got your attention right off the bat. But... I would say, and I don't feel like I watched it quite as closely as I watched the last one.
Yeah.
But to me, and as far as like who like stood out the most to me, or who like, all right, they just went up more in my book is DeSantis.
Yeah, I think that's generally speaking, I think that's where the rest of the world is right now too. I mean, people are going to have people who already openly support a candidate. They want that candidate to win. They're going to grab hold of anything good the candidate did. But I think that if you stand back objectively speaking, I don't know if he moved the needle for himself a lot, but he didn't hurt himself.
For sure. And, like, I already liked him. Like, I mean, he's probably one of my favorites. Yeah. But, like, I guess I was disappointed in the last debate with, you know, how he did. It made me not question him necessarily, but just because I really like him.
Yeah.
But just made me kind of like, oh, just kind of bummed out. And last night I was like, there we go.
I tell you what's funny is you can tell that DeSantis' people have told him to smile. and so, like, he'll sit there and he'll say something. And then there's really awkward moment where he'll kind of go, like he's trying to smile,
sure,
but he's not sure how. Oh, anyway.
No, it's so true. I noticed that a few times where he just like, right at the end of it, and that's why you vote for us. And then he'd be like, it was awesome.
All right. For those of y'all that can't see, that was a big fake smile from McQueen. All right. So let me get into the real questions. All right. So here's my true Boomer McQueen question. So like if presidential candidates were like Build-A-Bear.
Build-A-Bear.
If presidential candidates were like Build-A-Bear.
I haven't talked about Build-A-Bear in a long time.
No, see, my kids are grown, so Build-A-Bear was a thing for my daughter. But if presidential candidates were like Build-A-Bear and you could just like add on what you wanted for them.
Customize
them to fit. What would your ideal candidate look like? I'm talking about things like age, resume, background experience, whatever. I don't care. If they were like Build-A-Bear, what would you build them to look like? Who wants to go first?
Well,
the queen does
tough.
Apparently. So go ahead.
Well, I feel like this is like one we can do together because I can tell you, like, okay, this is important to me, and then you can throw something in. Okay, one thing that to me that's really important, like even just from the debates, is like stage presence because that is, you know, completely transfers over on a world stage.
Stage presence / just confidence.
Well, that's exactly. But I'm saying, but like that stage presence that translates on a world stage. Like you get people's attention, people respect you. Absolutely, you're confident, but not like full of yourself and have a huge ego.
In the military, we call that command presence.
Ooh, yeah,
I like that. That's a much better way to say
for
it.
Your commander in chief. That's what you should have.
Yeah,
you would want that. Yeah.
Exactly.
We don't have it right now.
I don't know what you're talking about. But
as he trips and falls down again. So command presence. What else?
That's just one of the first things that stands out to me, and I think a lot of that's because of what we have right now.
I want you to focus on policy, not trying to be everybody's friend and make everybody feel better and give participation trophies.
Okay. At least once a day, participation trophies come out.
It does.
So, I see that. So you're not just trying to win friends and get reelected. You're worried about what is best for the nation and policy and all that.
The nation. There you go. That's exactly what it should be. You should be focused on the United States of America and the people of America, not your own agenda.
All right. So, well, okay. Let me back up on that, though. agendas and policy sometimes go hand in hand. So how do we split this here from what you're trying to say? I mean, you can come in with an agenda that's policy driven, but I guess what you're saying is it's not a self-centered policy.
Not a self-centered policy. Almost in my eyes, not a self-centered policy, that there's an underlying reason why you want to do something
for your, like, your best interest,
for your best interest, or the interest of maybe selective parties that you are mingled with.
Okay. What else? So we've got command presence. We've got having good policies that are, like, I guess, like statesmanlike in their approach. All right. What else?
You know, I really like the fact that DeSantis has served in the U.S. forces. Like, I think that's incredible. And I think he brings a unique perspective and experience that nobody else does.
Yeah.
So I love that. And on that note, just having experience, I don't think being, 70 years old is necessarily the best thing. I don't think being 30 years old is the best thing, but having experience under your belt, but also being young enough where you're going through what a large majority of people are. And you haven't just been a lifetime politician.
Okay. That you just hit on something else.
I just meant that was a whole bunch of things kind of.
No, that was, all right, so I love the military presence. You can imagine I'd be sympathetic to that. I agree. But you're also, were you saying good or bad that they have been in, like, political service for a long, long time?
I do not like the fact when they're lifetime politicians. I mean, I think, yes, being in the political world for some time, just that gives you experience in one realm. But I think being, like, multifaceted is important. Mm-hmm. So, to me, Ramaswamy, I don't discount him because he's not been in the politics.
Well,
same thing
for Trump. I love the fact that Trump and Ramaswamy are businessmen.
Yeah,
I mean,
they bring something completely different to the table.
I think that brings a huge benefit as well.
I think there's room for someone to have not been a business person,
right?
But I love the fact that some folks in that position, they know what it means to balance a budget. They know what it means to have to go to the line of credit to keep things moving. They know what it means to have to cut a paycheck or not pay yourself so you can pay other people. They know what those hard knocks of business are like, and that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I want someone that can make the hard decisions.
So decisive.
Decisive.
Ooh. Hmm.
Because that's not what we have right now.
Yeah, not shy away when the going gets tough.
Mm-hmm. Right, and one that's going to stand up for his decision, because, and just be like, this is why I made this decision. And you know what? It may be wrong, but at least he's going to stand, he's going to share that with you.
Yeah, we used to always say in military circles, no decision is a decision for no.
Right.
You basically, by not making a decision, you basically decided not to do anything.
Right. Yeah.
And in fact, I remember Buzz Patterson, who we had on a little while ago, in his book, he talks about the fact that there was an opportunity to take out bin Laden during the Clinton administration, and he refused to answer the phone. He knew what they were calling about, and he didn't want to answer the phone until he knew the time had passed for him to have to make a decision.
Mm.
How galling is that?
Yeah. It just makes, like, my skin crawl.
All right, so Build-A-Bear right now has a command presence, has policy positions being so important that are statesmanlike, is decisive, has not been a lifetime politician, and would love to see somebody with some military background. Anything else?
Loves Jesus.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
Okay. So
Boomer
and I are both ashamed we didn't think of
like,
that.
Way to go, guys.
Okay.
And I think that first and foremost is the most important thing. When you take Jesus out of the America, we're lost. We're gone.
Oh, man. That's so good. That's so good. All right.
What about someone for, like, the free market?
Yeah. I think you're getting into the policies there.
That is more policy.
But it's perfect because right now Biden is screwing up the free market.
Well, that's what I mean.
Big way.
He is screwing up the free market. We could go on about that the whole time.
It's not free.
It's not. He's trying to push so many things on us. And you're right. That does go more into policies and agendas and all those other things that I just get mad about.
Participation trophies. All right, so let me ask you this.
Oh, I have another one.
Oh, speak to us. What do you have?
It was something I said this to, I almost called you your real name, to Boomer last night, that the other day, I called him and he was at lunch with his dad, and he answered and goes, Boomer, I mean,
I go, Right Side Radio, this is Boomer.
On
my cell
phone.
And
at lunch.
I just go, what? what did I just do?
And then he goes, I mean, hi, babe. And then his dad was laughing in the background. It was funny.
All right, back to the
question. I really liked, remember last time we talked, Mike Pence is not my most favorite person ever.
Gotcha.
He said some really great things though last night.
He did.
And I'd be probably super excited about it if someone else would have said them. But I really loved what he said about, like, you know, we, like, and or banning all the transgender stuff in school, or at least, I don't know, to some extent. Or maybe it was about the surgeries and
transgender surgeries and all that?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. But whatever, I like what he said there, and he stood so firmly in it. And that's something else, like what you said, making hard decisions, but being firm in those things, not just trying to get people to like you or please everyone.
There was a couple moments like that I think what that showed was there were people that were willing to push back against culture fads.
Yes.
You know? And it wasn't him. Who was it? It was Ramaswamy who said, this is a mental disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He just went there.
He did.
And you know he'll take heat for it, and he knows that, and he said it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, being able to take the stand against counterculture is a big deal, because when you come in on principle, it's harder to move you. When you come in holding your finger up on the wind to see which way the wind's blowing, you're going to get blown all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And stand up for what, like, I want to see them stand up for what they believe in, not listen and then kind of listen to someone else and then mold their answer around somebody else.
Yeah. Okay. Last piece of this question,
yeah,
with less than a minute to go, is age a factor, yes or no? And if so, is there a perfect age?
Yes. To me, like, yes and no. Yes and no is my answer to that. Like, I don't rule someone out because they're too old or they're too young. It depends on the person. Because, you know, there's someone that's 80 might be completely able to run our country. And then other people who are 80 are not able to run our country. Right. So it just completely depends, I think, on the person.
Male, female, does it matter?
To me, really, it really doesn't matter if, like, they have all these other, every single one of these build-a-bear qualities in place, then that doesn't matter to me.
Okay. Age, does it matter?
I'm good.
Male, female, does it matter?
Nah, I'm good.
All right, let's go to a break. all right, that's first round, Boomer or Queen. We got one question.
Just be competent.
Just one question. Yeah, please.
That's all we ask.
Oh, right. We just want a competent president.
Be competent and love Jesus.
Come on. All right, listen, we're coming right back. We flip the script. They ask me a question. I always wait to see what this is going to be. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, here with Boomer McQueen, round number two. And this is where we flip the script. They ask me a question, any question. Who's got the first question? Is that going to be?
Ooh, pick me.
Oh, yeah. In the front row. Yes, young lady. What have you got?
Oh, shoot. I just forgot. Oh, yes. Okay. So we talked to Republican candidates. So I think we kind of mentioned this one time before, but, like, at this point in the game, do you feel like – not do you. Who is it going to be? Because I know there's going to be. If it's not Biden, who's going to be the Democrat candidate that they push on in there in the last minute?
McQueen, are you assuming that President Biden won't be able to run for office?
That is not what I'm assuming or
– McQueen, are you suggesting that he is no longer capable of – running a presidential campaign? He's not.
He never has been.
Answer that question for you.
Is there a campaign going on? I didn't know there was a campaign.
There's actually really not much of a campaign going on.
It's just like an ice cream party and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, he's just having the occasional ice cream social in his basement. so, all right, who do I believe is in the wings? I mean, the obvious answer to that to me is Gavin Newsom. California Governor Gavin Newsom is posturing himself at every given turn. He was even at the GOP presidential primary debate in the spin room giving his version of what he saw from the Republican candidates. What's going on with that?
Holy cow, I did not know that.
So, yeah, so you have Gavin Newsom in the Republican presidential spin room giving commentary.
Oh Lord,
he's debating.
So like ESPN commentator style, like for but yeah, just on the other. Okay.
Exactly. You've awesome. You've got him debating DeSantis next month.
Found that out last night. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's gonna be a hoot. I'm gonna watch that one.
Oh yeah.
And then you know, everybody knows that he's been measuring the drapes in the Oval Office now for a while. So
does Biden?
Does Biden know there's drapes in the? Okay.
No.
But so I'm gonna tell you right now. I think that the obvious answer is Newsom. Now, who would run as his vice president? Because Kamala Harris is, we're reading between the lines right now that Kamala Harris's people are ticked off because it's supposed to be her. She's supposed to be next. If Biden can't do it, it's supposed to be her. Well, nobody wants her.
Mm-mm.
So that means that you can imagine
her people probably don't
Newsom
either.
Wouldn't pick her. So who would Newsom pick? And I don't know the answer to that.
Do you want to hear my thought?
Yeah.
Because I wasn't even thinking VP. I was thinking, I had another idea. Michelle Obama.
Why do you whisper?
I was trying to make y'all think
about
it. I'm not
going to let anybody hear me.
I wanted y'all to think about it. Michelle Obama.
That's, you know, I could see that, but I can't see that. I was
thinking that for like the one that they push on in there for.
Well, a lot of people have been speculating that, but I just think I don't know. I just think that would be such a firebrand, such a polarizing thing to do. That everybody would say, see, Obama's been running the White House the entire time. And I could see where he might pick Susan Rice, who worked for Obama and worked for Biden. But I'm not in the camp that says Michelle Obama's running.
Yeah.
All right, we got time for another question for me. What do you got?
And this could be a quick, if you have a quick answer to this question. All right, with everything going on with the GOP debates that we were just leading up to, with the Biden impeachment trials, the Hunter Biden stuff going on, with all this stuff going on that they're just feeding us in the news right now,
yeah,
is there anything that you think that is more important that they're not actually reporting on? Like behind the scenes.
So they're trying to keep our eyes off.
That they're trying to keep our eyes off of.
Wow. When you say they, are you talking? Are you putting Republicans and Democrats in the same? Or are you talking about the media?
I'm putting everybody out there right now. Is there anything that's really important that they're just not wanting our eyes to be set on?
Who?
That was a good one.
I thought you said this was a short question.
I know. Well, this could be something maybe that we could do later. So at the end of the show.
Or if your answer is no, then it'll be a short one.
Yeah. No. Okay. No. Yeah, I mean, I think right now the real story behind the scenes of some of the, you know, sort of stovepiped stories of things that they keep feeding us, like you said, is the actual fabric of our nation being torn apart. I think right now that what we're seeing behind the scenes and sometimes out in front because it spills over even though they don't want to talk about it, I think you're seeing with illegal immigration, with rampant crime, with the economy struggling, with people still trying to recover from the fear-mongering of the COVID pandemic. I think there's so much right now that is ripping at the actual fabric of who we are as a people, as a culture, as a society, that I think that is the story that, in my opinion, if they were to step back and say, all of these other stories, they're really just pieces of that story. You know, the Hunter Biden corruption and yet he's still in the White House, the stuff on the southern border, the human trafficking, the fentanyl crisis, the BLM riots, the pandemic shutdowns, the economy, the energy independence, yada yada yada. I think the true story is what all of that's doing to our very society right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I felt like I had to do that monologue today, by the way, that life can feel really heavy. You do not have to walk through it by yourself. Anyway.
That was a lot of stuff that you just named off. That's crazy.
And we did not even get to the stupidest story of the week again.
That's okay. Oh, good, because I didn't have one this week.
All right. Love
hey,
you
people
both.
People think that I make your picks. Do I make your picks for you?
NCAA Pick'em. NCAA Pick'em.
Just wanted to clear
that. I'm like winning this, aren't I?
Oh, my goodness.
You got to pick. You gotta,
now we got the answer.
You got to pick your favorite colors and stuff. That helps.
All right. Love you both. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.